Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake, as always, and you can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at LewyLewis5. That's LewyLewis, and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I appreciate you coming back each and every week and getting your fantasy advice and hearing my thoughts each and every week. Also, be sure to refer a friend, send them, share this, click the little bell notification, follow me wherever you get your podcast. Also, hopefully you all had a great week, and happy Father's Day to any of those fathers out there. I know I had a great one. My wife, we went strawberry picking, came home. My oldest daughter, some godly reason, wanted to give me a pedicure. Yes, men, go out there and get pedicures. It's amazing. But my daughter wanted to. I don't know why, but she sure did. And her own reward is now I have painted toes. That's what being a girl dad does to you, I guess. Anyways, hopefully you all had a great Father's Day weekend. On today's episode, though, I will be covering the news that really wasn't much around the last week and giving you my top 12 tight ends for the 2025 season. So sit back, relax, and I got you covered. Let's get fantasy. It's showtime. So, like I said, there's not much in the news headlines. Chris Olave wants to end his career with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, that's not really all that much, but it's saying that he's committed to the Saints. I mean, I hope his head's on right, because who knows with him, with all of his concussion symptoms, he might just damn well be retiring as a Jet this season if he does suffer another major concussion or symptoms type style. I hope it's not the case. I have a few shares of him personally. I think in this Kellen Moore's offense, he can easily be the Devontae Smith type role player. I don't think anyone on that team is going to be the AJ Brown role. That's just me personally, but I think, you know, for dynasty purposes, you might be wondering who is going to be at, you know, the quarterback position. And another newsworthy, Cameron Jordan wants the Saints to trade for Jameis Winston. If he's getting traded to the Saints, remember a couple of years ago, he did play for the Saints. If he goes back to the Saints, the sky is the limit for Chris Olave and even Rashid Shaheed. Those guys are going to be getting the ball a lot and often. We've seen, you know, in Winston's career, 30 for 30, 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns when he played for Tampa Bay, same division. Possibly he goes back and helps Olave's career being trending upwards. Never know. That'd be a pretty sweet. But that's just some things to watch out for. And really the basic news is J.K. Dobbins. I didn't report this last week. Signed a one-year deal with the Denver Broncos. I feel like that's going to take some touches away from R.J. Harvey. But if you're saying that he's taken all of R.J. Harvey's targets or touches, you were never in love with R.J. Harvey in the first place. You're already finding a reason why you didn't like him. R.J. Harvey got drafted 60th overall. J.K. Dobbins was on free agents the whole season, so he could have been signed before the draft, but ultimately they waited until after the draft, and what they got, R.J. Harvey, and now J.K. Dobbins. It's just going to take the McLaughlin role Audric Esme, I think, is now out of the question. I know Sean Payton loves to have a two running back committee, but ultimately, I just think it's going to be Dobbins probably in 40% of the time and RJ Harvey 60% of the time. I think Harvey, with his uninjured self, like J.K. Dobbins, he's injured ridden for his whole career. But that's just me personally. I think that RJ Harvey is still going to be really good. I think he's got top 15 potential easily. I mean, he was in my top 12. If you didn't know, look back at a couple episodes and you'll find out what I have him ranked. But that's all the news really around. Oh, I guess Aaron Rodgers is all in, whatever that means with the Steelers. I don't know what that means. I don't know. He is also married, so he did get another ring besides the only lone Super Bowl he's ever appeared in. But apparently he's married now. Congratulations, Rodgers. You got yourself another ring after 20 years of playing. Anyways, that is the news. Let's hear a word from the Podfather about FFPC.
Hey, why do we partner with the FFPC? Because they have the widest variety of fantasy football formats, and it's the easiest place to find all types of fantasy football contests in the world. What if you want to play for high stakes? Well, they have a $6 million prize pool with their Fantasy Players Championship. They also have way too early best ball leagues that start in February and dynasty leagues. They have the closest thing to a liquid market for orphans that there is in all of Dynasty. And the FFPC has sponsored us for half a decade because we are actually delivering information that can help fantasy gamers. And they're generating so much interest and bringing in so many new users, casual users even. The FFPC creates a unique experience where you can both compete against the best and make money. Use promo code UNDERWORLD to get $25 off your first team. $25 off your first team at the FFPC with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go get it!
Yes, use promo code UNDERWORLD. They never fold. They have never had any dynasty leagues fold. You know, you get in some of these dynasty leagues and you're like, ah, man, my team's so good. I hope it doesn't fold. Well, my FFPC does not fold. It'll look for another person to take over a team that's an orphan, and it's always going to be there. So go ahead and join it. Underworld is a promo code. Also, Fast Draft is now also available in Canada, except for Ontario. Use promo code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Gets you a dollar-for-dollar match up to $50. That is promo code Lewis. Also, we just entered Pennsylvania as well. So if you're in any of these areas, or if you just want to check it out, go for it. There, if it's not available in your state yet, there's free. There's a free place to play, and you could win up to $1,000 once it becomes available in your area. Also, another way to check us out throughout the whole week, you're doing it right now, follow us, click the little subscribe button on YouTube. Also, check out my own podcast, Fantasy End Zone, anywhere where you get your podcasts. With that, let's just get into my top 12. It's not going to be a long episode. We're going to get in and get out. I have my top 12 tight end rankings here today. Tight ends can be so close every year. For example, last year, players 1 through 4 finished 40 point difference. The fifth is an outlier. He finished at 200.4. That's Travis Kelce. And then you look from tight end 6 to tight end 14, separated only by 43 points. So if you take a look, especially from tight end 11 to 14, there's only a 5-point difference. 5-point difference from being a tight end 1. It's very close, very narrow once you look into it. And if you don't get the top one of the top four tight ends at the position, you might as well wait until later on, and you might be end up hitting something like last year. Example, Brock Bowers was not anticipated to be highly sought after, roughly around round nine. He was 11th tight end on the big board, and he finished first. Trey McBride finished second, projected tight end four. George Kittle finished third, was projected six. Jonnu Smith, projected 28th. Travis Kelce, age finally caught up to him, but he was still in the top five. Mark Andrews, production went down. He didn't do so hot, but he still finished as a tight end one. Sam Laporta regressed from his rookie season and still finished as tight end one. Zach Ertz, not even projected in the top 25 or top 35 of tight ends in all of football. Still has a tight end one finish. Pat Freiermuth, 14. Tucker Kraft was projected 23rd. Hunter Henry, projected 19th. And David Njoku was projected 9th. So all these guys had it. At the tight end position, if you don't get one of the top two, three guys, it's okay to wait. It's okay to wait. These are one position players or needs. You could wait and they will still be there. Anyways, here's my number 12, Dalton Kincaid for the Buffalo Bills. This is the last year for Kincaid. Can he do it? Me saying it's his last year is it's his last year to prove that he can be fantasy relevant or even worthy on the Buffalo Bills. He got 75 targets last season, held a 20% target share for the Bills as well. Last year he went through, we thought like he was going to be the target earner. The offense was going to run through him. We were wrong. I am thinking he's going to take that step forward and he's going to easily take over how many touchdowns he got last year because he only finished with two last season. He's going to score more than that, and he's going to finish a top 12 for tight ends this season. At number 11, I have Juwan Johnson. Kind of a surprise, but, I mean, you heard the list before. Did you really think Zach Ertz, Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith was going to be in the top 12? No. Juwan Johnson, he is getting a boost with having Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. He's going to be that Dallas Goedert of this new offense and in the New Orleans Saints. Plus, they signed him to a three-year extension this offseason. This is a signal that he is going to be part of this offense. Also, on top of that, Taysom Hill tore his ACL late in the season and won't be part of this offense this coming year. So it's only going to be Juwan Johnson at the tight end position. And he's probably going to be the second leading target earner on this offense. Maybe unless if Rashid Shaheed can somehow get more targets, I think it's going to be Olave and then it's going to be Juwan Johnson. At number 10, I have a rookie here. I understand that it's kind of spicy, but Terrence Ferguson, the Rams drafted him. And if you looked at the war room of the Rams, they were so stoked. It almost reminded you of the Puka Nacua. They know what they have in him. At the combine, Ferguson showcased that he was an athletic weapon, running the fastest 40 time. He will have to be third on his team in targets behind Nacua and Davante Adams. I know Higbee is currently listed as their starter, but once Ferguson gets on the field, it's going to be a hard time to get him off the field, much like Nacua. We didn't see that coming, but once he got on, it's hard to take him off. Also, this offense gets a big boost and upgrade with Davante Adams over Cooper Kupp. which is going to take some more pressure off of Terrence Ferguson soaking up the middle under routes and leaving him wide open. Watch for him to be a top 12 tight end this season. At number 9, I have Tucker Kraft. With the Packers offense being a question mark, really, who's going to step up? I think the offense is going to run more tight end, more 12 personnel. So Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, but Tucker Kraft is going to lead the way. They interviewed him late in the season last year, and he said he's got to step up and be a leader. And I know Matt LaFleur loves Tucker Kraft, and I can see him dominating the targets. Also, he finished 5th for most explosive plays from a tight end. He had 2 tight end one finishes of a week. I think he will help the team lead this team. He's probably going to be number 2 target earner on this team. And so I could see Kraft being a top 10 tight end this year. At number 8, I have Mark Andrews. He is not in his prime anymore. You're correct. But he still will hold down the fort in the offense. Last season, he had a bad car accident in the offseason, which I believe took a long time for him to recover. Last year, though, in opportunities, he finished 5th among tight ends in air yards, 1st in targets, 1st in target depth, 3rd in target deep targets, 8th in red zone targets, which that's where the tight ends make their living, 9th in receiving yards, and 1st in total touchdowns, and also 7th in fantasy points per game. I don't think he's going to slow down. I think he's going to continue to dominate, and he's going to be finishing in the top 10. This will be his 6th time finishing in the top 10 as a tight end. At number 7, I have TJ Hockenson. Last year, missed beginning of the season, mostly recovering from the knee injury that he suffered in 2023, but still managed to have solid numbers. 41 catches, 455 yards, but he had 0 touchdowns, which this year he's going to have to easily beat that. And he's going to be one of the most reliable targets for JJ McCarthy in this offense. He had 3 top 10 finishes last year. And in the playoffs, he went off for 5 catches, 64 yards, and had a touchdown. Even though he didn't have a touchdown all season, he had one in the playoffs in their lone loss against the Rams in the playoffs. In his limited playing, he had 18.4% target share on the Vikings offense, and he ranked 1st with 35.6 target rate at the tight end position. He will become McCarthy's safety blanket, and he will finish as a top 10 tight end in fantasy this coming season. At number 6, I have Sam Laporta. He finished last season with 83 targets, which ranked 12th among tight ends. His opportunity, he was ranked 7th in air yard share, 3rd in deep target share, 5th in red zone targets. Again, they make their living in the red zone, tight ends. 11th in catches, 6th in both receiving yards and yards after catch, 4th in total touchdowns, and 8th in fantasy points per game. His numbers declined from his rookie year to his sophomore year. Now that Ben Johnson is no longer there, I think Laporta will be the 4th team option in targets behind, obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameis Williams. He's been getting a lot of buzz in camp, and I think he's going to be the 2nd target earner on this team. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to come out of the backfield earning a lot of receptions. We've seen with this Johnny Morton last year that they threw a lot to the running back in Denver, so I expect the same coming to Jahmyr Gibbs. He, however, will still find himself in the top 10 as a tight end. Number five, call me crazy, but whatever. Tyler Warren. Yes, a rookie. I know Anthony Richardson is not a good quarterback or accurate quarterback for that to say, but I do believe Daniel Jones will start more games for this team than any other quarterback. Also, Tyler Warren gives you that upside that can play wildcat. He could also, you know, take the tush push or whatever, because, you know, they don't want to hurt Anthony Richardson if he's under center. And he played quarterback out of high school. He's a great blocker, so it's going to be hard for him to get off the field since he's going to be there. And I see him being the number two target earner on this team. And we have seen back-to-back years that rookies have led the fantasy league in points with Brock Bowers and Sam Laporta. I don't think Warren or any other rookies are going to do that to say, but I feel like he is going to be a top five tight end this year, just not number one. So expect Tyler Warren to finish as a top five tight end this year. At number four, I give you Travis Kelce. Even on a down year, his expectations, he still managed 133 targets, catching 97 passes, 823 yards, but only three touchdowns. He's going to get a lot more receiving touchdowns this year, I feel. Anyways, he finished third in most explosive plays, fourth in receiving EXP, which is explosive play ratings. Listen to these opportunities, though. He was third among all tight ends in targets, fourth in target share, seventh in snap share. He ran the most routes among any tight end, third in air yards, second in air yard shares, fifth in deep targets, first in red zone targets. That's kind of hard, and we only had three touchdowns, but still, third in receptions, fifth among receiving yards, seventh in yards after catch, first in unrealized air yards, and sixth in fantasy points per game. He did finish 19th, though, in total touchdowns with just three, but if you're saying this is a down year, damn. That's a good down year for a tight end. He still finished high, and he's been reported to lose 30 pounds this off season, which I think is going to obviously help him and make him more productive this year. In a down year, he still finishes top five. This year, he's going to finish in top five as well. At number three, I have Brock Bowers. I know he came on strong last season and had a great season for his rookie year. But he did, you know, we've seen Sam Laporta regress from his rookie year to his sophomore year. I think that's going to happen for Brock Bowers as well. I mean, even though he did lead the league at the tight end position with 153 targets, second in target share, first in routes run, first in air yards, first in deep targets, first in receptions, first in receiving yards, first in yards after catch, but third in fantasy points per game. But now he does go to, he's still on the Raiders, but they get a better passer in Geno Smith. But Pete Carroll loves to run the hell out of the ball. And especially offensive coordinator Chip Kelly, and they selected Ashton Jeanty, 6th overall. They're going to run the ball a lot. This could open up some plays for Brock Bowers with a play-action game, but I expect a little regression. That is why he's number three instead of the one or two. But nonetheless, he is still a top five tight end. At number two, I have George Kittle for the 49ers. He finished seventh in targets, sixth in target share, fifth in snap share, fourth in air yards, fourth in air yard share, third in deep targets, and second in red zone targets, first in target quality rating, fifth in receptions, third in receiving, second in yak yards, yards after catch, second in total touchdowns, and finally, he finished first in fantasy points per game with 15.8. His quarterback, Brock Purdy, just got a huge payday. He's not going anywhere. Also, George Kittle is probably going to lead this team in targets, I believe. The only one that might compete with him, I don't think it's going to be any of the receivers. It's going to be Christian McCaffrey. But ultimately, I think George Kittle is going to be the number one target earner on this team. And with that, just because of that on loan, and they have an easy schedule, he's got to finish the top five for tight ends. At number one, I do have Trey McBride. I believe last season he finished number two overall at the tight end position due to only having two receiving touchdowns and one rushing. This year, he's having more than three touchdowns. But if you listen to these player metrics that I'm pulling off of Player Profiler, go ahead and check it out. Get the all-in package and use promo code Lewis to get $25 off the all-in package. He was second in targets, number one in target share with 29.3%, third in target rate, second in snap share, first in slot snaps, fifth in routes run, second in air yards, first in air yard share, seventh in deep targets, second in red zone targets. Again, I don't know how he only had two receiving catches, touchdowns when he's second in the red zone. Second in reception, second in receiving yards, third in yak yards, eighth in realize air yards, and 13th in total touchdowns. Unlike some of these other tight ends, there's not that much that's changed for Trey McBride this offseason. He still has the same quarterback in Kyler Murray, and the only one that he's going to be competing with for targets in this Cardinals offense is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. But even then, They didn't address any other positions on this offense of side of ball, and the team is probably still going to be in shootouts, meaning a whole bunch of pass volume going to their best player in Trey McBride. So expect him to be your tight end one for the 2025 season. Chat, let me know how I did. Let me know who I messed up on, who I left out. I know a lot of people have Jonnu Smith in there, but I just think he's going to get traded before the end of the season, or before the season actually starts, to probably reunite with Arthur Smith. That's why I don't have him or Pat Freiermuth up in my rankings, because they're probably going to be taking on from one another. I don't know. Let me know. I just want to hear your thoughts. But. And that is a wrap of today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoy the show, be sure to follow, like, subscribe. Let me know, you know, rank this, rate it, give it a 5-star. Hopefully, whatever you can do to help out the show, retweet it, share with a friend, let a family member know, whatever. But again, thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, follow me on Twitter to get all the latest news and notes and updates around the league at LewyLewis5. That's LewyLewis and then number 5. And I'll see and talk to you fantasy heads next week. Till then, have a good week and peace.